Your Instagram and TikTok algorithm is lying to you about generational wealth. The Fed chair says we're not lowering those interest rates no time soon, and why people would sacrifice more money just to make sure they're making more than you. Tune in. What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shaira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free Podcast. This is our main episode. We're coming to you once a week, every Sunday evening, Monday morning. Just know it'll be there for your Monday morning commute.
Yes.
Me and Shaira are just a couple of people that did a thing, right? We paid off six-figure debt, and we started investing for retirement through out-of-state real estate investing and also through our regular old 401ks and Roth IRAs. We're just two regular people that decided to make a change some time ago, and we've been documenting it here on the podcast. So thank you to our longtime listeners, and welcome to anyone joining us for the first time. Shaira, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I think our Sunday is off to a pretty good start.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
We had some family time this morning. We ate breakfast together, which was really nice.
Yes.
And here we are now in our afternoon, going to get this conversation kicked off for this podcast. So I'm really looking forward to hearing some of your thoughts.
Okay.
All right, what we're going to be talking about. But how are you?
You know, where do I start? Now, I'm doing pretty good. I'm trying to think, because, you know, we just naturally say, oh, I'm good, but I'm trying to think, do I have any more in depth than that so that our listeners can get a little taste of us?
Yes, Marcus needs to get to the gym because
when
he doesn't go to the gym, he kind of gets a little cranky.
Yeah, the gym has definitely become a part of my life, and I get disappointed in myself, let me say that, if I'm not... you know, giving it my all, you know, not going four or five times a week. If I miss like two or three times in a week, I feel like, man, I just kind of mailed that weekend. So I get a little frustrated with myself. But yes, I will be going after this combo, Shaira, for sure.
Good. I might go with you.
Well, let's go. Let's get it in. Shaira, first of all, what did you think of Thanksgiving? Let's give a little update. What did you think of Thanksgiving, your favorite holiday? And now we're leading up to Christmas. But what was your thoughts on your Thanksgiving festivities?
You know, I think Thanksgiving was a success this year.
Yes, it was great.
As you all may know, if you heard the last podcast, we hosted. So it was nice to welcome at least my side of the family into our home for, you know, a nice meal. I definitely take my Thanksgiving seriously. Whenever I'm hosting, I take it seriously.
Oh, yeah.
I have a spreadsheet. I have a checklist, what I have to do, you know, a couple days before, what I should be doing the week before, the day before, and on the day. And so it, you know, parts of it is all hands on deck. So I believe that your job this year was picking up the turkey.
Ooh,
so thank you for doing that. I didn't cook a turkey this year, but I probably will cook a turkey next year because I was not that impressed with it.
Yeah. Left a little to be desired for sure.
Yeah.
It was good. Tasted good. But it's just like you're trying to buy a turkey to eliminate the stress of cooking, brining, all that stuff. We ended up having to.
I had to do so much. I had to make this Cajun butter. I had to make a gravy. I had to like doctor up this turkey that we spent a lot of money on. And I'm like, seriously, y'all, I should call. Anywho, I might call their restaurant and give them some feedback.
You need to go off on them.
But I think it turned out well. We were able to get my brother and my sister-in-law in an impromptu podcast. So
super fun.
Definitely check out that episode. There was a lot of laughter, I will say.
Yes, he was good.
But I think it was like a really good conversation as well. And it was nice to just have a guest. This has been a long time.
Right. I totally agree. And it was fun to have someone in like studio with us. So that was really cool. If you are eating leftovers still, you need to be arrested.
Marcus.
Put the leftovers away. They're no longer good. I was a bit saddened because Shaira threw away my last piece of sweet potato pie that
Why
I had
did you
been
save
saving,
it?
Y'all.
No. This is what happened with the sweet potato pie. Tay wanted some. That's her daughter. So I said, okay, I'll give you a piece, but the rest is for dad. That's what I told her. Everyone knows that piece was for you.
Okay.
Marcus saw the piece, cut it in half, and said that he was saving half of it for me.
Yeah. No, I was saving it for me.
Oh, for you?
Yeah.
Well, then why didn't you eat it?
Well, Shire, I was going to eat it that day, and I went in, and you had been cleaning out the leftovers, and you clean that out, and it had been sitting out. You know, I like my pie chilled now. You know how I like
Marcus, it had been like 5 days. I mean, I made that pie for you. Y'all, Marcus loves sweet potato pie. He loves his mother's sweet potato pie particularly. Yes. And I said, you know what? This year, I'm going to figure it out.
Yes.
And so even before Thanksgiving, I was doing my test pie, trying to get it the way that he likes it. So when Thanksgiving came around, the sweet potato pie would be on the table.
Yes.
We had plenty of desserts, but that pie, that was your pie. And if any you need to eat the pie. I mean, we just told everybody if so many days have passed, it's too late for the food. I'll make you another pie. True. How about that?
Okay, cool. Bet. We got a deal. All right, Shire, we got to talk about this, man. We're going to talk about a few things today. We're going to talk about, you know, just some news updates on what's going on with the economy. I'm going to touch on later. We're also going to talk about a study that was done to really tap into how we think about money. Is it about us making money, or is it about us making more than the next? You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
But before we do that, Shire, let's talk about this buzzword that has just been going around since Shire, we've been in this game for about, 2017. Okay, that's just too long. About 5 years, right? We've been in this finance game where we're talking about finance, where some people would say educating others on finance, although we're not financial educators, but we're just sharing our story, talking about money, talking about building wealth, right? And it's gotten a bit corny. There's aspects of it that have gotten
Marcus,
kind of corny,
really?
Right? A lot of buzzwords, a lot of cliches. I said the other day that in some aspects, the community has become a caricature of itself, where it starts to get distorted and kind of like, the term is called jumping the shark. Jumping the shark is a reference to the sitcom Happy Days, which was a long-running sitcom. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever watched Happy Days. There's a lot of shows that she didn't watch.
Yes. Okay.
But Happy Days was a really funny show with the Fonz and all that, right? It had been going for so long. Even the guy, Leave It to Beaver, Opie from Andy Griffith, you know the Opie, you know about Opie. I'm giving Shire history
this
lesson.
This is your point. Okay, I don't know where
Opie
you're going.
Opie was in the show Happy Days, but him as an adult. Okay. So anyway, the last few episodes, they couldn't figure out, well, what's the content going to be about? They had no more ideas for episodes. So they had an episode where the Fonz jumped a shark on a, like, you know, surfing behind a boat, you know, when you... Anyway, it was corny, and people were like, this show is just, it's done. So the term jumping the shark was birthed out of that, where it's just cliche. It's overdone, right?
Well, can I say something to that point?
Yes.
So I don't think the space has become
as a whole.
A caricature.
Caricature.
But
of itself.
I think when we lose sight of the stories.
Yes.
Then that's when there's room for jargon.
There we go.
Like, if you have a testimony, but you know, if you want to share like the journey that you've been on,
your story,
the things you're able to overcome, I don't think that those stories ever get old.
I agree with you, Shire.
You know, but when it starts to become, you know, just jargony,
buzzwords,
or you're just saying things
recycled.
To get,
stuff you've heard, right?
Yes, recycle things as you've heard. Not a fresh perspective.
There we go.
And then you're just saying outlandish things to just get reactions out of people.
Yes.
Then I see what you're saying.
Okay. Well, I want to play you a video, Shire, of a gentleman pretty much describing exactly how I feel. Let's take a listen.
Generational wealth, which I hate that term. I hate that term.
Why?
Because it's a marketing, it turned into a marketing strategy.
Facts.
And especially in our community.
Yes.
And I'm tired of our people constantly shoving that down our people's throat about generational wealth. And then making people feel, guilty that they're not setting their next generation up so that they could supposedly live that generational life. Everybody, if you listen to the word, it's generational, means continual, okay? Not generational meaning one generation. You understand? So, parents, you're doing your thing. Be proud of yourself. You're busting your tail. You're sending your kids to the best school that you can get, you can give them. You also want to better yourself. Bravo to you. Put your kids in the next in the best position to then pass them the baton and let them do their job. So I really wish that we would stop this generational wealth marketing to our people and then making our people. This is the reason why our people are doing penitentiary chances.
Real talk.
This is the reason why our people are doing these PPP scams and all the other stuff that they're doing that'll get your ass locked up because you feeling that you need to do this to level your family up. Nah, this takes time.
Shire, I want to get your thoughts on that, and then we're going to go into in depth of what generational wealth means. And so I just want to get your thought. What do you think about what that brother just said? I think there was a lot of facts that was spit in that right there. What you think?
Well, definitely sounded like he was spitting bars.
Yeah, he was not, he was busting, right? He was rapping.
I think if you're listening to the podcast with music, it might, you know, have a good flow to it. Yeah. I think that the point broadly is understood about generational wealth, and he was talking about the risk that people willing to take in order to provide for their immediate family needs, but they're doing it under the guise of generational wealth. So I don't necessarily hate the term. I won't go that far.
Okay.
But, you know, he said that folks are using it for marketing. It's a marketing tool to grab your attention. And sometimes, you know, like what he said, you know, people will take chances.
Yes.
And I don't think that building wealth is really about taking chances. It shouldn't be a gamble. It shouldn't be something that could put you, you know, behind bars. And it also shouldn't be something that we use to beat each other up with. So I definitely agree with a lot of what was said.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you said. I agree with that brother said. I'm going to go and say, and I think we did a whole pod about is generational wealth. I forget what number it is, but we did a podcast about is generational wealth really attainable. But I think that that word has, we should throw that word away.
And, no, really?
Well,
why?
Because I think it is it's aspirational at best. I think what we should, there's more attainable goals that we should do, right? If you're generational wealth is something that I think is you're shooting for the moon, you know, I don't know. I just don't know if it's something we should be. You're giving me a look, but I don't think it's something that. Look, just send your kid through college, right?
It takes generational wealth to do that. You don't think it takes wealth to do that?
If we strive to set our children up to where they could come out of college with no debt, that is exceptional. That is exceptional, and that is better than, speaking about specifically the black community, that is better than the generation before us did for us. We're not going to go from parents not even being able to send their kids to college and pay for their kids' education into in one generation, we're going to literally set up generational wealth. That's not how, that's an impossibility. And I think we do that because it sounds great. It's a great conversation. It gets you mad clicks on Instagram. It gets you, it's aspirational at best, but is it realistic? You told me, this beautiful woman that I know named Shire Murray,
Marcus,
told me goals should be SMART. What is SMART, Shire? What are the acronyms for SMART goals? Let's go back to your coaching certification.
I told you this.
You told me this. What is a SMART goal,
Shire? It should
be
specific.
Specific.
Measurable.
Measurable.
Okay. Attainable.
Attainable.
Realistic.
Realistic.
And time bound.
And time
bound. Why do you put me on the spot like that?
Bound. Shire, is generational wealth a SMART goal?
It not if okay, It depends on how you word it. If I just say, you know, I'm working really hard and I'm going to have generational wealth, personal generational wealth, then no, because you're talking in too broad of terms.
Yes.
But can someone pass down, well, what is generational wealth?
I think that's what we need to figure
out. I think we need to just take a step back. That's
okay. All right. I like that.
You start saying stuff like sending kids to college, and it really takes wealth to be able to do that. And that's something that I think about very often, like with our own
kids. I don't consider that wealth, but this is great to discuss.
That is wealth, and that is what separates. I mean, you look at the huge divide in how much student loan debt is owed by people of color versus non-people of color, and then think about the financial contributions, you know, from parents that people of color receive versus non-folks of color. So that is wealth. If you can help your child through college, that takes wealth to do that. And especially if your child opts to not go to community college. Mm-hmm. Now we're planning on helping our kids based on you going to school, but guess what? You're going to start at a community college, you know, unless you have a scholarship or there's some type of, you know, I don't know, other circumstance.
We're going to navigate you through your degree.
Yeah. So, I mean, but our thought is we're going to help you, but you have to do it on terms that work for us. Mm-hmm. And they will be adults and they can choose their own path. And they might say, I don't want to go to a community college, mom and dad.
Go in peace.
I want to go, you know, to some other college across the country. Mm-hmm. And so that would make a huge difference in our level of support in their education. If you're planning for your kid to go to community college versus them just going to, say, they get accepted into a really prestigious school and it's a lot of money. So I think we're still navigating that, and I'd be better positioned to talk about it once our kids are older. But for now, we can make it a SMART goal, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And this is what, you know, we plan to support our children the best we can through college. But what is generational wealth? Is it completely off the table for Black America? No, it's not.
Okay. Let's hear it.
I don't think it is. But anywho, I did pull up an article, and this is from Capital One. I said, well, they have a bank. Okay. So they should know.
Let's see what they got to say about this.
I'll just hit some of the highlights. So the first being that, you know, it says estimate shows that each year about 2 million households receive some sort of inheritance or substantial gift. And a lot of those transfers is through intergenerational transfers, which is someone who is living is passing on wealth, you know, to someone else, but they're still alive.
Gotcha.
You know, sometimes I think in our community, in our community, we say, well, when we die, we want to be
this
able
house
to.
House is going
to
be yours when I'm gone.
You know what I'm saying? But I mean, by time.
I'm 70 at that point, right? I'm 65 at that point.
I mean,
how many years
I got
left?
Your family, you could very well be in your 90s and your kids in your 70s. They probably have their own by then.
Yeah.
But anywho, so just taking a look at generational wealth, what is it? And it's, you know, when we're talking about it, we're typically referring to things of value that are being handed down from one generation to the next. And that might include assets from cash to real estate, art and investments, and even stakes in family businesses. So that's how this article is looking at it. And then we talked about how some of those transactions are living. And so that's great too. And another way to look at generational wealth, or to expand the definition, the article says that it can mean reducing a person's financial burdens by paying for major expenses like education. So that's what we were just talking about. Or using connections to help find higher paying jobs or other opportunities.
Okay.
So think about that. Using your network is another form of generational wealth. And I know that we've probably seen that, you know, in some companies. I'm not going to go into whether
nepotism.
Or not. Yeah, yeah, you know, like but that. It's in, you know, using your connections to help your children get jobs is a form of generational wealth. That is pretty interesting. And it goes on to share that according to the Fed, most inheritances are for less than $50,000.
Okay.
So when we're talking about generational wealth, this generational wealth, that, well,
we automatically
in
think,
reality,
we think Walt Disney when we
yes,
hear that. Okay.
Yes. But in reality, most inheritances are for less than $50,000, and only about 2% were $1 million or more.
Okay.
So it's very few times that people are getting these huge inheritances.
Gotcha.
And we've already broadened the definition of generational wealth to include what? Education, passing down wealth while you're living instead of waiting until a person is deceased.
Mm.
And looking at the total, 50K, yeah, maybe that's something we can do in the Black community.
Okay, so what you did was you literally changed the discussion by highlighting and illuminating, if you will, the definition, the true definition of generational wealth or of wealth in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, yes, my opinion has definitely changed from what the brother was saying on the front end. See, and that's another reason why the IG clips invoke a certain emotion, right? And you have to really take a step back and dig and see, okay, he said some good things, but let me do my own, no pun intended, but let me do my own research.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was ready to jump out the window based on what the brother said. Like, yeah, I'm with him. But then when you break down through a, not responsible, but do a reputable publication or a reputable company, well, this is what the banking industry considers generational wealth. Now it's like, okay, well, yeah, I guess we can't shoot for that, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty much is what he was saying. It's like putting your kids through school, or you should shoot for something like that. And I think what we do is we consider generational wealth Johnson & Johnson family, the Waldorf Walmart family, Walt Disney. We think of it in such big terms that we feel like, man, I got to do something crazy to get to that.
When right.
Really, it's a more, you know, 50K passing on, maybe passing on something while you're alive. That mm-hmm. is huge, right?
Yes, I think that's something
just
that,
doing that.
Yes, exactly.
Before you go, babe, I'm going to let you go. I'm thinking, hey, man, we have 5 rental properties, man. You know, if I could give one of those to each kid, deed it over to them, and with the property management in place and the tenants in place or whatever, that even is a kind of like a generational wealth type of play, to where it's like, this yours is already being managed. You could either sell it, keep it, you know what I mean? Boom, this is yours. That's kind of a nice little sweet thing. Imagine if your parent gave you a house that had already been being rented out and whatnot, and it was out of state, but it's like, here it is. This is yours, you know. Go in peace.
I mean, I think
that's generational wealth, right?
Yes, that is.
Based on definition.
That is, but I don't know.
No, I'm not saying we would do that or you would even want to do that. But
because when you do that with a house, but see, that is something that would be on an IG clip and it'd get 1 million views.
Yeah.
Just that part.
Yeah.
But once you put in the liability of having a rental property, hey, you can get the cash flow. But guess what? If that roof gets a leak,
it's on you.
So that
you would want to have a conversation with your kid, like, do you want a responsibility?
Exactly.
Like that?
So yeah. that's a responsibility. Mm-hmm. But if they want to get into real estate, that could be something
for them.
The potential is there.
You know.
But we talk about how we sensationalize stories. Mm-hmm. That little piece there. If I had you just with a green screen behind
viral.
You and some good music playing behind you and. It's like, yeah, this brother's passing
brother
generational wealth, but there's more to the story.
Yeah.
There's that financial responsibility mm-hmm. that maybe they might not be ready for.
That's true.
Or if something happens to the house, they'd be looking at you because you gave them the house.
No.
They say, why
you
give me this problem?
Yeah, it's on you.
You know, but anywho.
But anyway, sorry to cut you off. You had something good you was going to say.
Well, we're going to talk about the racial wealth gap. And I really don't like to talk about the racial wealth gap. Okay. I don't know if y'all know me like that, but I do say that from time to time. But let's just take a look at like what this article is sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that the folks that are likely receiving these inheritances. Thank you, Mark. So this is a quote. They're saying that the data show that, you know, folks are more likely to be college educated, have high incomes, and high wealth. So the folks that are getting these inheritance, they already reached a pinnacle of success in their life. Mm-hmm. And most of the recipients, they said 88% were white.
Okay.
So that's, 12% are folks of non-color. They don't break down the data any more than that. So just seeing that discrepancy, I would say, this could be something that we shoot for.
Keep going, Shari, because I'm feeling good about this now. I'm feeling a lot better about this.
Okay. And then, we hear statistics about the typical, white family having, in this case, it says 8 times the wealth of the typical black family and 5 times the wealth of the typical Hispanic family. And part of the way that they calculate that number is they're looking at inheritances and what's been passed on. So that's a quote that's, in here as well. And then it says, along with intergenerational transfers, the research also cited home ownership opportunities, access to tax sheltered savings plans, and individual savings and investment decisions as major factors that contribute to wealth accumulation and financial security. Mm. So those are things that if you want to pass on generational wealth, start thinking about. Home ownership is
beautiful.
Just mentioned.
This is beautiful. And I'm going to go on a bit of a rant here, Shire, because what we've done, and this was very unexpected on this pod, we took a moment or something on social media that was hyperbolic, right? It was eye-popping. It was catchy. It was something that invoked an emotion to the point where you're like, yo, we should talk about this. And we extracted it, right? We took it apart. We dismantled it. We dug deeper. And that's why I say that this space has become a bit of a caricature of itself, because if you just take what you see on these viral clips as face value, you have a distorted outlook on things, right? Mm-hmm. Because what we've been able to unpack in this 15 minutes is that this generational wealth is obtainable. It looks way different than what you think it looks like, mm-hmm. right? And I think that that's one thing that me and you have always we've always had a realistic outlook on, Shire, is like when people would say stuff like, man, we would watch videos and people be like, yo, man, I got 100 doors, 100 units in like 10 months, you know what I mean? And they would be viral and we would be like, man, we doing this. And we know that that's not even, how could you even do that many transactions in that length? You know what I mean? We would see it and be like, that doesn't feel realistic. Mm-hmm. We've always given and held on to a realistic ideology of what wealth looks like. It's not what we see on social media. And I think it's things like this, like podcasts like this, really highlight that. Like, let's just breathe. Let's just breathe. Generational wealth really is this. Oh, I could do that. Mm-hmm. Wealth really is this. Oh, I can do that. If I just change this thing here, move this piece there and get serious about this, man, I'll be a lot better off. Because I think we see it as this such a huge goal that I got to do something illegal to get to that. I got to make this, I got to scam, I got to do this. And it gets into a cycle of just craziness. But if we really break it down, say this, if you limit your expenses, if you pay down debt, if you save, if you begin to invest the overage and you do that consistently, this is where you end up. Oh, okay. That's pretty good. That's actually good. It's not a lot of craziness that you need to do. It's just a few little key tweaks.
Right.
And you can really set your family up going forward.
Exactly. And then like even the article is talking about your network.
Even that.
Your network is part of your wealth.
That don't cost a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but to that person's point, I think, to our point, when you take away the emotionality,
I like that, Shai.
What are we really looking at here?
What are we looking at? Let's get raw.
It's like, oh, he's spitting bars, but what are we really talking about here? Mm-hmm. There were some good things to what he was saying
yes.
about how you could start to feel bad about yourself. Even like what you just mentioned, I used to think, you know, we were doing real estate and I used to think, are we not doing something that we should be doing? How in the world does this person get all their doors? Then it dawned on me one day that they were probably just counting all of the doors in the house.
Yeah.
They were counting the front door, the back door, the closet door.
They had to be, right?
The restroom door, the pantry door, the garage door. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, you do own those doors.
Yeah.
But
so they ain't lying, technically, right? But yeah, Shire.
Okay. Well, another thing, Marcus, it's funny. At the end of the article, let me pull it up again. They did have some, like, some steps.
Okay. Let's talk about that.
And I got some other steps. I don't even think you looked at the steps, but you kind of hit on a few of them.
Okay.
And they got these steps from a family story, and they, a family was working on building up their own wealth, and they, you know, at this point they have a business and they're going to be able to pass some of those assets to their children, but they came up with some tips to help you get started with building or leaving a legacy.
Yes.
Or having a living legacy. Let me correct myself. So the first one is to start with financial literacy. And I think that that speaks to
what the value,
right? The value that of knowledge.
Knowledge.
And some of us, well, we might not be where we want to be financially. We have, we invested in putting in time so that we have the tools and that this is information that we can share with our children that maybe our parents didn't share with us.
Yes.
So that financial literacy piece is the first step. And as you're getting on track financially, and especially if you have children, they're watching you. You know, they're watching. The next thing was taking a look at debt. And you just mentioned that. And so it talks about making sure that you have a debt repayment strategy and also that you have an emergency fund. All
debt is like
things.
Debt is like a hole in the boat. Right, it slowly starts to leak in, you know, sink your wealth. But go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, they have create a budget. These are very practical things, right?
Yes.
Develop financial goals. And you said something about a SMART goal earlier. So so it's coming together. So if you, what do they say? Oh, I'm going to mess this. I'm going to butcher this. But basically, if you aim at.
Shoot for the moon.
No, if you aim at nothing.
You'll hit it every time.
You'll hit it every time? Yep. Okay, thank you. Okay, so have a goal. Okay, so yes, you can have generational wealth as a goal, but you need to figure out what that will look like.
Yes.
That your generational wealth could be living, right? We think about it in terms of death many times. This is what I'm going to leave after I'm dead. But what is it that you can do to support your children while they're living? That's when they need the most help.
Yes.
I don't need... I mean, I don't really know because obviously I'm not there yet, but I would think that in my...
We needed the most help in our late 20s, early 30s.
Yes. Okay. So your generational wealth might be, I can't pay for all your college, but I'll get your books.
Yeah.
I'll help you with your transportation and I'll let you live right at home.
Live right up in here.
So just think about what that might look like. And then number five is think about the next generation. So just... Okay, so the things that they list here is insurance policies, wills or trust. So that's having your stuff together.
Yeah.
So you're not.
We're gonna get in our into the trust bag this coming year too, y'all. Y'all stay tuned.
Y'all, we have some financial things that we need to take care of.
We got some things we need to do too. We ain't all the way there.
Once we take care of those things, we will share that experience with you.
Yes.
And then they list, you know, you might also consider how you might pay for your child's college or assist. And we were just talking about that right now.
Yeah.
And then number six is to reassess your financial health. And the comment on that is no financial plan is permanent. As your finances change, don't be afraid to revisit your plans and budgets. So a new job or a side hustle might bring extra income, new expenses, you know, might occur. As they do, and you'll have to just adjust your timelines accordingly. And they encourage folks to regularly assess their financial situation against your goals and to just make sure that you're working towards, you know, building wealth. So I think that this is very practical, starting with financial literacy, taking a look at your debt, creating a budget, develop financial goals, think about the next generation.
and reassess your financial health. Now, if this was the steps to building generational wealth that we all knew mm-hmm. and that we were all on the same page about, I don't think that our brother would have had so much anger towards the term. And I don't think he would be saying that, you know, generational wealth isn't for us. And, you know, but I think that he was saying that folks using it as marketing in a negative way.
Yes.
You know, something that can be unhealthy.
Love it, Shire. Well, Shire, we got a couple more things to get on and then we're going to get on out of here. Just a quick news update. I feel like this year, the theme for this year has been paying attention to the interest rate mm-hmm. when it comes to mortgages and credit borrowing in general. And how the Fed is like been raising the rates for like been almost 2 years now. So that's kind of been an ongoing thing. Many listeners are interested in buying their first home or getting into real estate. We know that from the analytics. So we just want to keep you abreast on what's going on with the interest rates. Are they going to bring them down? What's going on? Well, as of December 1st, Fed Chair Jerome Powell, you've heard his name many a times if you listen to this podcast. He calls talks of cutting rates premature and says more hikes could happen. So that's kind of what's going on right now. Last time I checked, interest rates, mortgage rates were in the eights, hovering around low, high sevens, low eights. So interest is still crazy, Shire.
So it can still go up. That's what he's saying.
That's what he's saying. That's just something to just keep in your hip pocket. We want to give you the news, you know, big news in the economy. We want to make sure we're keeping you abreast of that. I got a fun one real quick, Shire. We're going to get on out of here.
Okay.
There was a study done, and I want to get your thoughts on it. We touched on it the other day, but I want to get it live on the podcast. So I'm going to give you two scenarios, and I want you, the listener, to tell me which one you would rather do too, right? Matter of fact, let us know if you're listening to us on Spotify, let us know. We're going to post this question in a poll on Spotify, so let us know which one you'd rather. Would you rather?
Okay.
Shire, would you rather make $100,000 a year?
Okay.
And the rest of the world make $200,000 a year?
Uh-huh.
Or would you rather make $50,000 a year and the rest of the world make $25,000 a year?
I'm not changing my answer.
Okay.
Okay.
Tell me your answer and then you can tell me why.
Okay. Y'all, so Marcus asked me this in the car yesterday. We're on a little road trip. And mm-hmm. I said I would rather make $50,000 and the rest of the world make $25,000.
Okay.
And my reasoning for that was that if everyone made $25,000, I would think that the world and goods and services and
the economy things, at large,
things would be more affordable. That was kind of my logic.
Okay.
In thinking. And then obviously I would be bawling, you know. But I don't know, Marcus.
Okay. And my retort to Shire was, you're literally cutting your potential money in half. But Shire gave this really noble reason for it, right? So I couldn't really cut at her in a way that you would, most people that would opt for that. Because the study showed that more people opted for that as well, but their reasoning was rooted in, I just don't want nobody making more money than me. Like, it was more rooted in wanting to be the baller than it was, well, because, you know, if everyone else makes this, then the economy will be less. And you gave a really educated reason. So I couldn't, like, roast you. But I would take the 100K because I'm making double than the other scenario. You know what I mean? Yeah, others are making more, but...
But because they're making more, they can afford more, and I'm wondering...
Would that affect the economy at large?
Would that affect your ability to survive?
That's actually a great way to look at it.
But I don't know. I mean...
It's a great way to look at it.
I don't know, Marcus. I mean, say you could comfortably pay all of your bills mm-hmm. with that budget, well, with that salary, and there's not a need.
Yeah.
You know, to make that kind of money. But I guess, you know, with the other scenario, making 50K and everyone else making 25K, you just kind of put yourself in the 1%.
Well, yeah. Well, let me make it simple.
Or would you rather be?
Well, this is our podcast. Let's make it even easier. Nothing changes about the economy. It's the way it is right now.
Oh, then I couldn't do 50K. I don't think I'd be able to live. And I don't think anyone else would be able to live on 25K. I think that would be a crazy world.
Okay. All right, that's fair. All right. Well, I want you all to let me know what y'all think. Which one are y'all going for? The 50K, or are you going for the 100K scenario? And you need, and please let us know why. And we'll talk about it on the next podcast. Shira, are there any other thoughts, concerns, anything you want to get off your chest? We're here. No. I'm here. The podcast is here. We're all family. Good to go?
I'm good. And hope that everyone has a great week.
Yes, we hope you have a great week. And we're going to holla at y'all on the next one. Peace.
Bye.